that's taking place, and we're having some fun with that, and I'll be testing some aspects of this here shortly. But that's where we're at currently with Mesh Network. If you haven't tried it yet, strongly recommend do so. The 3.0 release is extremely stable. It works real well on both Ubiquiti and Linksys. Give it a try. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
Okay, very good. By the way, did you get a chance to test your tunnel connection to Texas?
I did not. Daryl sent me the login information to his tunnel server this morning, but I've been busy babysitting and I'm a little tired right now, so I will probably take a shot at it first thing tomorrow morning.
Okay, very good. I'm not going to get to it until probably Sunday night or Monday at this point. I've got scout stuff to do on Saturday till Sunday. I've got the Barra dinner. I've got the Farallon dinner tomorrow night. Tomorrow is the Farallon dinner. The Farallon members in your family. And, what do you call it? Nancy, by the way, cooked 15 pounds of sausage, a case of peppers, and a huge bag of onions. So it's quite an amazing feat, to say the least, but we have huge troughs of sausage or peppers. It's quite an amazement. Anyway, so we'll be good eating tomorrow night. Alrighty. Let's see. Oh, and yeah, I've got to do some things on my trailer tomorrow because we need the trailer for the trip this weekend for the scouts. So it just gets better and better. So anyway, looks like the Devils just won 5-3 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Beautiful thing. Alrighty, folks. Anybody else have anything for the net?
Just an additional comment on that antenna?
Sure, I got Dan, and then we'll go to Don. So Dan first.
Yeah, the antenna I described was used with a tuner, either an outboard or an inboard tuner on the rig work. Sometimes on 80 meters, the outboard tuner seemed to tweak the receive a little bit. You could also work it without a tuner with very low power, because the ladder line is low loss, so that's all. It was a fun antenna. I'm building a 135-foot version of the same thing. I'll probably put it up over the winter. WA2CLP, back to net.
I'm jealous that you have the space to put a 135-foot antenna. And I don't care if it's 10 feet off the ground. That's awesome. Alrighty, well, congratulations. That's super. Doc?
W2JEK here, yeah. I heard Gregory mentioned that family had a general license that had expired a couple of years ago, and one thing I forgot to mention in my spiel about the VE testing is that last July the FCC came out with a ruling that people whose licenses were expired beyond the two-year grace period can get back into ham radio by taking the current technician exam. They won't have to take the they had a general or an advanced or an extra license that's expired by beyond the grace period. All they have to do is take the current technician exam, and they're back at the ham radio with their, they get credit for the license they held. If they had a general license, they get a general license. If they had an advanced license, they would get a general license, because no advanced licenses are being issued. And if they had an extra class license, they will be as licensed. Get the same call sign back, because it might have been reissued, but be on the air. This is a week, so that's why I took a minute now to mention it. Again, welcome Gregory to the ham radio there, and many good luck with all your ideas there. Back to that, W2JEK.
Very good, very good. Yeah, that's important. Greg, did you catch that information? Greg, we didn't get any modulation on that.
Okay, so so much for the headset I was wearing. Let's try it again without the headset. Yeah, thanks for that info, and I'm talking to my father. I'm not sure he's going to be interested in doing it. but I will try to set other things on its plate right now. Good to know that, and no, thank you very much.
Yeah, real quick, Greg, was your father like a missionary down there?
No, actually, he was from Ecuador, and his sister was down there. He came up here on a full scholarship for physics at Dartmouth, and never left once he came here.
Oh, I see. Very cool. Very, very cool. So, yeah, my next question was, did he work for HCJB? But that's another question. But very cool. So he's a Dartmouth physicist. Yet another physicist crosses my path. That's awesome. That's all right. The group I hired into at Bell Labs, everybody was a physicist, and two-thirds of them were from Cornell. The rest were from Dartmouth and MIT and Caltech.
My run is...
Yeah, we didn't get that last transmission. You were just below the noise level, just egg fried to that, speed it to death.
Sorry, I'll try one more time. I'm actually reading you, though, because you're light. Other folks are hearing very well. I was saying that when I was in 9X,
God knows Carnegie Mellon hints that, you know, cranks out a few of them, too. That's pretty cool. Alrighty, well, 73, and thank you for joining the net tonight. Hopefully to hear you here on more Tuesday, more Thursdays, pardon me. Just to reference everybody, since time for a little commercial, we have the Barra dinner on Sunday, and you're welcome to attend if you're not, but we need to get to know in advance. And that you're coming. Again, WI2W@ARRL.net. And also, other nets. Monday night, there's a YL net at the Barra Babes, if you will, at 8 o'clock on 14679. At 9 o'clock, there's a 10-meter net on 28375. On Wednesday night, there's a net, a chat net, on 14679, again at 9 o'clock. And then... on Thursday, we have a 440 net on 444.100. I'm running that net. Real quick, who ran that net tonight? Because our net control passed away last week, and I'm wondering who ran the net tonight. Oh, dear. I was worried about that. Okay, well, KF2ID passed away a week ago, and he was in a control, so... I guess we're going to have to come up with somebody to run that net. Anyway, and then we generally meet at the Washington Township Senior Citizens Room in the Borough Hall there, Township Hall, at 7 o'clock on the first Sunday. And then, of course, there's Kit Night on Tuesdays at the Westwood High School, in the same room, I think, that Don runs his test sessions. Once a month on Fridays. And then finally, the last thing is about 8:30, people gather at the food court at about 8:30 in the morning on Tuesdays and Fridays for coffee. So feel free to join in on that too. All right, any other questions for the net?
W2JEK with a question or comment, rather.
Go ahead, Don.
The class where we have the, we use classroom number 123 for the VE sessions, but the kit night is in, I believe it's room 114, which is in the door that faces the, on the side of the building, that faces the parking lot, on the side of the building, at the one that faces the street light where we come in for the gymnasium and the for the title. It's a different part of the building. And also, Gordon, maybe you ought to think about talking about your Saturday, December 13th event.
Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Yes. A week from Saturday, we will have a ham fest. Good Lord. In Bergenfield. It's also a holiday flea market, and it's got separate sections, so the hams are on one side and the general merchandise is on the other. We have great food. We have some technical sessions, and it should it prove to be a very exciting day. It's at 19 North William Street in Bergenfield, in Conlon Hall, which is the gym of St. John's Church. So just find St. John's Church, and away you go. They'll be talking here and generally on 5-2, especially if you're in the area, you should be able to work 146-5-2. But if you just email me again, and we'll square you away on arrangements and stuff like that. We do have tables available. We do provide tables and chairs. It's flat entry, so it's handicapped accessible. It's convenient to load and unload, and it's rain or shine because it's indoors. It's a huge facility. We also have pet adoption going on and all sorts of stuff. So it's a great day. It's a lot of fun. It supports our scout troop and our ham radio program and within the scout troop as well. And we just have a great time doing it. So hope to see everybody there a week from Saturday in Bergenfield for the Ham Fest. And it's a great social time. We should have some interesting talks coming up. And in fact, I intend to try to demonstrate the tunnel from that over the wireless access point, Randy. That should be exciting. So we'll have essentially a portable tunnel with us, connecting us to folks in Texas and maybe folks in Washington Township by then. Just to make sure we coordinate with Darrell to make sure his server stays up. But it's a great, great thing. So we'll be talking about that and basic ham radio and the like. And if anyone, again, is interested in the course on the 26th for just getting a technician review class, again, shoot me an email. It's all day on Friday the 26th, the day after Christmas, and the test session's that night. So, that's a lot of stuff. Thank you, Don, for that little prompt. WJUK K2VAR.
W3WJUK.
Alrighty, anybody else?
W2APB?
Mr. Paul.
Just one quick PSA. It's that time of year again. Time to renew your memberships. All your local repeaters, all your local radio clubs, get checks in early and often. With that, I'll send it back to K2VAR from W2APP.
Yeah, good point. And there's registration information on the Barra site, BARA.org, to join the Burning Amateur Radio Association. And I believe the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club has theirs as www.alpinerepeater.com. Alpinerepeater.com, and you'll find the membership information up there, I believe. Is that correct, Paul?
Yeah, it's all up and running.
You are the best. One other thing about that, speaking of which, we resolved a technical problem that was plaguing the 2-meter and 440 repeater at some level. There was a concern that there was something defective about our antenna, and it was static and noise and this, that, and the other thing. It turns out that, we were losing about 20, 30 dB of signal margin on weak signals, which is a lot. It's a huge amount. Due to another repeater that was generating some broadband noise, and I will just say that the owner of that system took down that transmitter like a dead cat, dropped it immediately, and said, I will deal with it, and thank you very much for telling me, and he's away right now, but he immediately dropped that transmitter. There are other transmitters in the system. It's a network system, but their 2 meter transmitter, or one of the 2 meter transmitters, just was, you know, giving us grief no end and raising the noise floor on 2 meters amazingly. And I'll just say this, it would have greatly affected Barrett's ability to have a 2 meter station VHF contest from our favorite site. It would have been a huge, huge problem. So it's all good. I'm glad we straightened that out. But the trustee of the other system was unbelievably gentlemanly and immediately took action to, you know, stop the problem. And guess what? The repeater is now accessible by far weaker signals than it had been before. So, any other questions or comments for the repeater, T2B Air? For the net, sorry.
WA2CLP with a question.
Good, Dan.
Hey, there's a 440 frequency I have in here, a W2UHF repeater. At one time, it was linked to 835. Do you know if that 440 repeater is still up on the Blue Hill building? Because it seems very close to access from here with the HT.
Are you saying you're able to access the 440 on Blue Hill?
Well, I'd have to look up the frequency. I don't know where the repeater is. There used to be one up there, I think. I'm not sure. It was linked or something when Morris and Essex ran it. But I'm wondering if there is a 440 repeater with a call sign W2UHF on the Blue Hill building that you know of.
Okay. Well, yeah, the W2UHF system that was at Blue Hill is now HATBS. I am the trustee and owner of that machine, and it is no longer linked to that system. That system is basically been reconfigured and he's parted out to different places. But those sub-elements are still linked. This piece is not.
Okay, well, I don't have the frequency in the display right now. There is a W2UHF repeater that seems very easy to access through the HT. I guess I'm just not sure where it is, but it works. Okay, just thought I'd ask that. Back to net, WA2CLP.
I believe it's in Montclair.
Okay, thanks.
Montclair or Verona, I should say.
That must work very well. WA2CLP, back to net.
Yeah, it is. Anybody else? All right. Very good. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for joining the net tonight. It's been fun. Good length. Good length. I like this. An hour and a half is a good length. I apologize for the kind of stuttery start that we had tonight, but coming back from my first trip to BJ's, which was interesting. Anyway, you all be well, and hopefully we'll see you on the weekend. Remember Pearl Harbor Day, it's Sunday. Say a few prayers for those who've sacrificed for our freedom, and whether it's in that conflict or others before or after. Anyway, I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Company's Spirit Meter and the Bergen Insurance Association for their net. So, with no further ado, I want to thank you for your participation. This is K2BAR W2TTT signing clear, 73.
Yeah, amazing how we all got big and old, right?
Indeed. Yes, indeed. I'm just letting David, WA2MZZ, off. He probably heard the door close there. He accompanied me, and he sends his regards to you.
Yeah, okay. Good. Good, good. We're doing fine. On this little thing, we had a little problem. We were getting into the Fios. Remember, they use RF on the on their coax. You actually, when you change the channel on a set-top box in Fios, you actually change frequencies that you're tuned to. So that's pretty horrendous. So I got to figure out what to do about that. Oh well.
That's interesting. I'm not sure I understand what's going on there, but I'd like to know sometime. By the way, incidentally, I heard you were talking about the DVT dongle and SDR, and that was in the presentation tonight.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's a cool thing to use. Yeah, the DVT is pretty neat. Strongly recommended, to say the least. They're great little SDR toys. Now, what I was doing is I was interfering with the hockey game that was playing on our Fios, and so I went to low power, and my wife didn't tell my son that it was Dad upstairs causing the problem. So what we did was I went to progressively low power and blah blah blah. So I was using HT, and but anyway, never. It wasn't a big deal. Anyway, let's see. Basically, you know, the tuning on the coax was, you know, such that the frequencies were aligning with the harmonic, and I was flattening that channel, both in HD and in SD. So I figure out why that is and go from there. But and I will, I'll sort that out in good time. All right, I should probably run, but so I got to do one work thing in order to take off tomorrow. So I want to do that. Needless to say. But Howie, sounds like you had a great presentation, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. SDR is cool. K2EIR, W2TTT.
Aiden Gordon, you sound like your executive functioning is not working very well anymore. I think you need sleep. So I wish you luck getting that one thing for work done. Maybe you need a 15-minute nap or something, set the alarm. Although it may be really hard to get up from that. Anyway, all the best. 73 K2 EIR.
No, I just got a text message that at the same time that was kind of distracting. So yeah, I was going in 42 directions there. Sorry about that. Anyway, it's all good. We're fine. And yeah, I do need some sleep, but that's neither here nor there. But it because it's one text, which is pretty funny actually. All right. Well, you take care, and you be well. K2ER, W2TTT.
Thank you.
N1LU Mobile.
Good morning, 82BOR.
Hey, good morning, Rocky. Happy Friday. I got my my check for the amplifier. I'm going to cash that today and then try to decide what I'm going to do about 220 rig.
Yeah, very good. Mine's still not here yet. It's out in limbo. They probably sent it to China and then send it back here. I tracked it all day yesterday, even put a thing on my phone for an alert, and still not at the Kearney post office. I guess it's the holidays coming up.
That's too bad. Any idea where it is?
No, it said where it left last, and I checked the regular USPS site, and it says the same thing. You know, eBay said between Wednesday and Saturday. The USPS site said Thursday, but not guaranteed.
Yeah, okay. Well, as soon as you get it, let me know. I've got the HD at home, and I can get into the 940, so if you're putting it through some paces, just send me a text. If I'm around, I'll get on the 940 machine.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I just want to get it first. The rest of it's easy.
Yeah, I know. That's the frustrating part, is waiting for it. Especially this time of the year. Everything seems to be, you know, slow.
Today is the 5th of the month, if I'm not mistaken. According to this, it left Knoxville, Tennessee at about a little, I don't know what the heck it was, a little after midnight on December 2nd. Things should have been here already.
Yeah, you would think so. That's not that far away. Yeah, I'm surprised it's not to the, at least to the Kearney, Kearney station by now. When was the last time you checked?
Oh, I don't know, about an hour and a half ago when I got here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know how often they update stuff. Well, hopefully you'll get it soon, maybe today. See what happens.
I woke up last night, heard a little bit of the net, and I heard Gordon talking something about this machine. But I can tell you, last night I was getting the machine full scale at home again.
Yeah, like I said, I had heard that they were doing some antenna changes, but I don't know when.
N1OU-KD2-VOR for whoever cares. Yeah, well, it seems to be working. I noticed this morning from Harrison to my shop, I keyed it a couple times to see how I was receiving it, and it seemed like I was got a lot less dead spots this morning.
Yeah, who knows? It could be weather conditions, too. It's a nice, clear morning. I didn't notice much of a wind.
Get your coffee yet?
Yeah, that was a bit of a fiasco. I'm going over the tap today again. So I stopped at the mobile station in Connecticut, because that's before the turn for the Tappan Zee Bridge, and I got there and the guy wasn't around. They said he's in the stock room. He'll be back in 5 minutes. For all I know, he's smoking crack in the stock room and we'll be back in 20 minutes. So I said, I'm not waiting. So I went to the other mobile station, got my coffee, had to turn around and head like I'm going back home, and then get on 287 West. So now I'm just coming up to the Tappan Zee Bridge now.
Yeah, I love these convenience stores. They operate them short-handed with people. They leave the counter unattended. People got to get frustrated after a while.
Yeah, well, this certainly is a oddball hour to be up. Most of the time I get there, and the guy's sitting in a chair sleeping, and I got to wake him up. But this is the first time he wasn't around. Know where they said. Sometimes the guys have gone and gotten them for me. one time a guy that was at this place, there's a couple of different stores in one building. There's a, I don't know if it's a Subway or, yeah, it's a Subway. Then there's a, you know, like a candy or a convenience store counter. And then there's the Dunkin' Donuts. The guy wasn't there for the Dunkin' Donuts, so the guy at the convenience store came over and he made a cup of coffee for me. He didn't know what to charge me, so I just gave him $3. I said, thanks. But, yeah, it's hard to stay motivated this time of the morning.
I look at it this way. I don't care what time of day it is. If you got a job that requires you to work at that time, you know, what are you going to do? It doesn't matter if it's 8 to 5, 9 to 5, you know, midnight to 8. You know, you got a job, you got a job.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you prepare yourself for it. You know, it's a, you know, slow time of the night. You know, bring something to keep you occupied.
At the hours you work, I don't think your boss would love you to be sleeping in the chair.
No, not at all. We had one guy, excuse me, talking about the sleep and I'm getting tired. We had one guy that was caught sleeping on top of one of the smokehouses.
Sleeping on top of the smokehouse? I guess he got reprimanded.
Yeah, but he's still there, and that was years ago. And he's the head smoker right now. He's been head smoker for quite a while. But, yeah, they couldn't find him, and I guess they found him up there. I don't know how they found him up there. It's like a, I don't know, 10-foot, 12-foot tall smokehouse. There's ladders on the sides of each of the smokehouses that are, you know, welded to the smokehouse. So you can crawl, you know, climb up the ladder and work on the, you know, the systems on the roof of it.
Oh, well, I guess he won't be doing that any longer. I'm looking at the USPS site now. Said this thing was sent priority today, mail. And, I don't know. I guess the Wicked Witch of the West has got another little basket on her bicycle.
Did you ever read her reviews? Did anybody complain about how long it took to get something? Although it sounds like she did everything right. It sounds like it's the Postal Service.
Doesn't look like it's not her fault. She did everything she's supposed to do. Two-day priority, UPS tracking, and up to $100 insurance included. So she did the right thing.
She only insured it for $100.
That's what it says here, so I guess you gotta imagine what these radios are costing them.
Yeah, but you're paying more than that. If you have to file a damage claim, you'll only get $100 out of it.
I see your point. Then I'd be going back to the seller. She shipped it.
Actually, in a situation like that, I'm not sure who would file the claim. I guess it would be the person that that paid for the insurance. So that would be her. So you'd have to, you know, hope that she would send you the money, reimburse you, or send you another radio or something.
N10U, KD2BOR. I'm going to wait. It'll probably show up today, hopefully, or tomorrow. No great thing. It's not like I'm out of a radio, you know. It's not like I don't have any 220.
Yeah, absolutely. This will be your first D, though, right?
Yeah, it'll be the first D. The other one comes in like a grayish color box, light gray, the regular TH-9000. The newer ones are coming in a white box.
Are the radios the same color?
Yes, it is. Same color, just the box is a little different. I think the manual is a little different from what I've seen pictures on the internet.
I don't think I've heard anybody on a D yet.
Yes, you have. You've heard, I don't know if you heard N2IEE, but you have heard Steve when he got his. I'm pretty sure his was a D model.
You think so, Steve? Yeah. I don't know how long the D's have been out.
I don't know. I know he brought his radio down here with the box and everything, but I don't remember when he was here. able to clone his, so it's had to be a newer one than Don's, but it didn't work.
Oh man, I got some slowpoke in front of me in a van. How fast is he going? Like 32 miles an hour. It's a 40 mile an hour zone, and he's going 32.
Well, one thing, you will not get pulled over for speeding, that's for sure.
No, I just hope he's not going my way. Now he's going 30. Jesus Christ. This guy's pissing me off. I don't need this on a Friday.
Do you have a full day today, or is it one of those shorter ones?
No, it'll be a typical Friday. I'll be able to get out of here early, I'm sure, but not... not a five-hour Friday. Next week might be a five-hour Friday. But next week's going to be a little weird. Friday morning, probably around 3:30, I'll be picking my son up at the train station, then bringing him home, and then heading to work. So 3:30, yeah, probably. I probably won't get to work till 5. So that means I'll have to stay till 10. That'll stink. And I was planning on a nice early day.
Well, 10 is still better than 12.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife and I were planning on going Christmas shopping on Friday. I'd have a short work week, get home by 10, and then head out to the stores, try to beat the crowds. I guess that'll still happen, but we'll see. Let's see which way this idiot's going. Good, it doesn't look like he's going my way.
Not too bad. You aren't you on a two-lane highway where you can pass them, or are you on a single-lane road?
Single lane with a double yellow.
Ooh, not a good idea to pass them, that's for sure.
No, especially since I was on that decline where the cops hang out. Although I did not see them this morning, but I didn't want to take a chance. If he had gone my way, there's a little bridge that I go over. And I would have passed him there, even though it's a double yellow. I would have passed him on that bridge, because there's no place for the cops to hang out there.
So did you mail that unit back to the guy yet, or are you waiting to see if the check clears?
Yeah, I just got the check yesterday. I'm going to, it's a bank check. So I'm going to try to cash it at my bank, see if they'll do that. I'm not going to mail it until I get the check cashed. I want to make sure I'm not going to have any trouble. I could just see me mailing it back to them, and then everybody giving me a hard time for some reason of cashing it, and then I'm really screwed. So I'm going to wait till I have the cash in my hand. I'll probably mail the, I'm hoping to cash it today, then I'll mail the unit out tomorrow. I got to pack it up.
N1LU, KD2, for your warrant. Did he give you your shipping also?
No, he did not. And I'm not too happy about that.
Yeah, he should have picked up the shipping. There's no doubt he should be, for a unit that didn't work, he shouldn't be making you pay shipping twice. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna definitely say something to him. Now I have second thoughts about sending that manual with it that I just bought for $14. Maybe I'll keep it just in case I ever get another amp.
Heck with him. I wouldn't give him that manual. If I had to put the manual in a shredder, I wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah, no, now I've got to spend money on shipping both ways. Shipping for him to send it to me, and now shipping for me to send it to him. Yeah, he really, well, you know, I guess he got the short end with the amp not working, but... yes, I'm a little PO'd.
Doesn't sound like he's too straight up of a ham buddy or a ham operator.
Yeah, and when he sent me the email telling me the bank check's on its way, he even told me to have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Should have emailed him back and said, I can only buy one less pie for my family since you made me pay the shipping twice.
Well, I'm going to email him when I get to work, let him know I got the check, tell him I'm going to cash it first, and That's why I'm in no rush. This guy didn't do me any favors. And tell him that I'm very disappointed in this whole transaction. That I'm getting stuck paying shipping on the unit both ways. And, I got nothing to show for it.
Terrible people, huh? People do things like that. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's not close either. He's in Texas somewhere.
What was the shipping, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't know if he actually paid that, but it's 25 he charged me.
I doubt it costed him $25 to ship that up from Texas. I really highly doubt that.
Well, I'll find out soon enough. I tell you this, it's going slow boat to China way. No way I'm, spending anything more than just ground. Ground on a blind donkey.
Yeah, please just don't find a donkey that's bringing my radio. You'll send it back the other way.
Yeah, hopefully you'll get the same one. Yeah, I'm going to tell him too. I'm going to say, listen, I'm not, don't keep texting me and trying to find out where the radio is. I'll give you a tracking number and you deal with that. That I'm not happy about this transaction, and I'm certainly not going to send it priority or second day or anything. I'll just send it regular United States Postal Service ground. Whatever's the cheapest.
How big was the box that he sent it in?
I don't know the dimensions. Well, if I had a guess, I'd say 18 inches square. It was a good-sized box, but nothing huge.
Yeah, let them weigh it up. Sometimes their prepaid boxes might come out a little cheaper. I think their medium flat rate box, I think, is like $13.65, but you could get a getaway cheaper with some, take a little bit longer to get there.
KD2BOR N1LU. I don't know if they'll have do they have good sized boxes there? Do you think they'll have one that'll fit that radio? I mean, that amplifier? It didn't come in a box, so it's not like I gotta put a box in a box.
Yeah, they got their small flat rate box, which you probably won't fit in there. They got the medium flat rate box. They have two different, they got a flat one, and I think they got a bigger one. Yeah, they got all that stuff at the post office.
Check it out on my way home today. Stop and grab a box. It's hard to get an idea how big they are when they're opened up flat like that. But yeah, I'll check it out. That might be a good idea. Save myself a little money.
Got a medium flat rate box here. Let me go grab it. KD2BOR.
N1LU mobile.
The medium flat rate box I got here is 12 by 13.
I guess 12 inches high, 13 inches wide, something like that.
12 inches wide, 13 inches long or something like that. And I would say about 4 inches high.
Yeah, I don't think that'll fit in there. It's a pretty good size amp. Much bigger than the RM Italy amp that you had. Probably like two of those stacked on each other and longer. I probably need a large size flat rate box. Do they have three sizes or just two?
I got a small, medium, and large. I can't believe that amp is that big. That amp could not be over 4 inches high.
It's close, but keep in mind I got to wrap it in bubble wrap too.
Yeah, I don't have the large box here, and I don't have the other flat rate medium box they have. I only got the flat ones. Like the flat rate medium box is what I usually. Let's put it this way, the last time I bought the TH-9000, it came in a flat-rate medium box, and the TH-9000 box fit inside of this one.
But I bet you this amp's bigger than the TH9000. Plus that was in a box, so I guess they didn't have to put any packing in it. You know, that's my biggest concern, is I want to make sure it's packed right. I don't want the guy to tell me it had a problem getting there because of poor packing.
N10U KD2BOR, I just put the box, my TH9000 box, inside of this one. It fit perfect.
Well, there's a post office on my way home in New Jersey. I'll stop there and maybe I'll grab a couple. I'll grab a medium and a large. See which one it fits in. You know what the rate is on the large?
No, I don't. I'm going to USPS's site right now. Okay. The medium flat rate box is 1265. It's 13 5/8 by 11 7/8 by 3 3/8. Or they make one 11 inches by 8.5 by 5.5. That's on the medium. If you have to go to the large flat rate box, that's $17.90.
That's not too bad. How much is it? I mean, how big is the large?
They have a 23 11/16 by 11 3/4 by 3. And then they got a 12 by 12 by 5.5.
Probably the one I'd need. I need something that's higher than 3. 12 by 12 by 5.5 would be good. I can get plenty of bubble wrap around the unit.
Well, yeah, you want to send it back to them with no damage. You have to at least get a feel right about that.
Because that bubble wrap will add size to it. Even though I can kind of push the top down on the bubble wrap, it'll still add some substantial size to the unit. Especially if I wrap it a couple of times. I don't like using the peanuts.
I got to go to the post office myself today. I had another item sell yesterday. I had two fine and coarse clarifier controls that I bought many, many years ago from Cobra. I was going to convert my mobiles to fine and coarse clarifier, and I never did it. They were brand new and never used. I sold both of them for $35.
Oh, very good. What'd you ever get for that microphone?
I started that mic at $1.25. Nobody bid on it. I put it down to $100. I put it down to $75. Still nobody bid on it. I put it down to $50 and ended up getting $67.50 for it.
I'm shocked. I'm really shocked. I thought you would have gotten a lot more than that for it.
Well, I basically got my money back that I paid for it many years ago, so I'm not squabbling.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Well, I guess you're getting closer to that whatever antenna you want to get for $220. Are you still getting a single band, or are you going to try to get a CX333? Just be done with it, one antenna for three bands.
No, I'm going to stay with a standalone 220. I don't want to deal with, what do you call them? I can't remember what the heck they're called. That you put the radios to, and then it goes to the antenna. I can't remember the name of it for the life of me right now.
The triplexer?
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to put anything in line that's going to take any loss. I'm probably going to go with the standalone antenna.
Do they have room up there for it?
Yeah, I got plenty of roof up there. I can put it almost anywhere. I can put it in the far corner in the back here. It'll be away from the other antenna. I can put it up in the front of the building if I wanted to. There's a lot of things I can do.
KD2BOR N1LU, gas came down 6 cents overnight in Connecticut. I haven't noticed a move over here.
I went over to Frank's GMC yesterday morning when I left there to see if Debbie's truck made it to the dealer yet. Because the site said it wasn't in transit any longer, but she talked to the salesman and it's down in Newark and it's being trucked up to the dealer. It hasn't hit the dealer yet. but on my way over there on Ridge Road, I saw 247.9 yesterday morning.
That's nice. Yeah, I wish I could shop around, but I may, you know, I'm not complaining, believe me. I think I paid 255 or something, or 259. That's, I think it was 255. That's much cheaper than Connecticut, even at 319 in Connecticut, which is like real cheap. We haven't seen that in years in Connecticut. It's still a lot cheaper where I could get it over here in Jersey, so I can't complain. I've never seen it go down this far for this long. It seems like every time you turn around, it's dropping. I hope it stays that way. I hear that you know, it has something to do with some of the fracking that we're doing. And if the pipeline gets approved, which from what I've heard from other people talking, you know, pipeline from Canada, that'll bring the price down too. We may see unprecedented low prices on gasoline, which is going to be great. That's, I tell you, gas prices are the only reason I'm not driving a 4x4 truck. I just can't afford it.
Oh, I can understand that. I do all city driving, and I know what my truck uses in gas. I only go from Harrison to Debbie's house, and mine's ridiculous. You figure with a 5-cylinder, I basically got the same motor as mine and Willie P. has in his Hummer. And I don't do any highway driving, so I just get murdered.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, at least gas prices are down. It must be a little bit of a relief to you. I know it is to me.
Especially, you know, the savings you have with the amount of miles you drive. That's got to add up quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it does. And then the, you know, the few trips that we take to D.C. to get my son or bring him back or whatever, and down to Ryder. What's nice about Ryder, when I get down to that area on Route 1, there's a lot of gas stations there. And they're the cheapest that I've seen in the state.
Yesterday I saw on the news for a couple seconds, and I did watch the news. I don't know what state it was in, but they showed a gas sign at $1.99.9.
Well, I tell you, some places at 247, it's not that far off. And if they keep dropping through the winter, like they claimed they were going to do, they said the prices would keep coming down until the spring. It could get that low. And if this pipeline is approved, who knows? We've got a lot of untapped oil that we're not utilizing. I'd love to put the Sheiks out of business.
And 10U, KD2VOR. Yeah, I would too. I would love to see that. We got too much dependency on foreign oil.
Yeah, and there's so much here in this country. And I saw a special on that fracking, and they really do. You know, it's very, very interesting how they frack. And they, you know, they do everything they can to make it safe. And even drilling for oil, you know, no matter where you do it, you can't have problems. It's part of the game. You got to accept it. But this fracking will certainly help a lot, bring down the oil, the gas prices.
I hope so. I would love to see it again. My God, I started driving, but we'll never see that. 3 gallons of gas for $1. That was great.
82BOR N1LU. Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, my friend had a car, and, you know, we'd go out on Saturday night, driving around, drinking, all, you know, the usual stuff that kids did. And we'd get pocket change together to fill up the tank, and he had a Mercury, some sort of an old Mercury. I remember we used to go, there was a straightaway down at the beach, long straightaway for maybe a half a mile, and he used to bring it down there, see how fast you could get it going. I wish I remembered Mercury. I can't remember the name of it. I'll have to ask him today. I still work with the guy. And I remember when it would hit 120 miles an hour, the roof in line, in
I think it was the inside, you know, what do they call it, the roof liner, would pop down, I guess because of air getting through cracks. It was a very old car, beat up and everything, push down, and we'd all have to, you know, scrunch over so we could see out the windshield because it was pushing down on our heads when it got over 120.
You were close. It's a headliner, they call it. I tell you, me and you, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't think of going that fast in a vehicle anymore. I don't like driving fast. I've slowed up so much as I got older. It's unbelievable. Even on a highway, I've got people going around me. I could be going out Route 3 to go to Home Depot on a Sunday morning. If I'm doing 50-55, I'm happy.
Yeah, I don't know if you could do 50-55 on the turnpike way down south where the speed limit's like 65. You'd be getting passed by little old ladies. That's pretty slow when you're on a major highway that's got, you know, highway speeds of